We're in Acts chapter 4. I'll begin in verse 7, and we'll go down to verse number 13. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Together in verse 13. Ready? "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And so we're going to pray here in a minute and get ready and see what the Lord has for us. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that you would now bless the preaching of your word. Lord, we would, before we say anything really, we just stop and say, Lord, would you be the great teacher this morning? Would you speak to our hearts? In each life, Lord, there's all kinds of things happening. There is the thing, which is the coronavirus issue, panic, that is happening. And Lord, that affects us, and in some way or another affects all of us. But then, Lord, there's the unique things happening in each of our life. Maybe a problem in a relationship, maybe financial struggles we're finding ourselves in. Maybe it's a sin, Lord, that we're battling, we're seeking victory over with your help. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's some confusion about a direction in life. But Father, we all come to a time, Lord, when we seek your face and we ask that you speak to our hearts. And Father, the benefit of preaching isn't simply an outline or necessarily the sermon itself. It's being under the preaching and letting the Lord do his work in each life. So Lord, I pray that you do something in each heart and each life that's here this morning. Now we ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now as we look at this series, Seeing from God's Perspective, here's what we're going to look at this morning from our text. Seeing boldness in our lives. This is what the Lord wants to see. This is what it should be seen in our life, this idea about boldness in our lives. So I tell you this morning what God wants to see. Now watch this. And what the world needs to see in our lives is God's people living boldly in this world. The world needs to understand that we can be saved, you can love the Lord, and you can live boldly in this world. Now, when we talk about this idea of boldness, we're not talking about being arrogant or even unkind. We're not talking about being cocky or in some way we're like doing things just to irritate them. This is not an arrogancy. This is a true spiritual boldness that should be in our lives. So there should be both a visual and a verbal boldness, that we are both visually and verbally plain about our faith as we live in this world. See, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about being bold when we speak to others about Jesus. You should never be ashamed about Jesus. Someone say, well, do you believe in Jesus? The answer is what? Yes. What's there to be embarrassed by? Yes, I do believe in Jesus. What? I should be bold about that. We should be bold when we speak to others about Jesus. Bold. Watch this. And Brother Choma mentioned this towards the end of his Sunday school lesson. We should be bold when we refuse to join others in their sin. You know, it's almost like we're still on the playground in elementary school where everyone's trying to intimidate us and pressure us in doing things. We ought to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm a born-again believer. I'm not going to do that. But yet there's that pressure. I told you a story. We used to have, at a different church, we used to have a church basketball league. Now, this is a church basketball league. Our church had its, we had three teams just in our church. And it's like 3-on-3, so you didn't have a full-fledged team. In fact, my team only had three people, no subs or anything. So it was 3-on-3 basketball, and our church had three teams, and a bunch of other churches had, there's like a dozen teams. And our team wasn't doing too well. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, that's because you're on the team. That's not very nice to think, okay? Very true, but not very nice. And so our team wasn't doing too well. And so we got to the playoffs. And now watch this. The other two guys on my team said, if we're gonna win, we need some more players. And my answer is, yes, that is a true statement. Thou speakest truly. And so that is a true statement. And so he said, why don't we recruit some people? Now here's the problem. The rule was all your team had to be settled before the playoffs. You can't sandbag that way. And I said, it's too late. We're in the playoffs. We can't add people. And here's what they said. Now, understand, this is a church basketball league. This is a church team from our church, okay? And I'm the assistant at that church. And here's what they said to me. If we lie, no one will know. All right. Maybe you ought to have a revival right here. And they were pressuring me. They're like, we're going to lose. And then they're like, well, if no one else is going to be just us, why should we even try? We're just going to not even try. Doesn't matter. We're not going to cheat and lie to do that. So this is what we're talking about, this boldness. Boldness to talk about the Lord. Boldness to refuse to join others in their sin. A boldness to align our lives to the Word of God. A boldness to oppose the ungodliness that is in this generation around us. We don't have to be a part of it. We can boldly say, no, that is not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go with the crowd and be like this generation. We need a boldness to serve God faithfully and sacrificially. Because if you're going to serve God faithfully, there will be a sacrifice involved. So we need a boldness in these things, a boldness to stand up and be counted as God's people. Now that's what we see here in Acts chapter 4, this boldness that they were seeing in the lives of Peter and John. Go back with me to chapter 4, look at verse 8. If you'll notice with me, they saw this boldness in the words of Peter. Look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Now, these people, to some extent, have power of life and death over Peter and John, to some extent. Now, they'd have to get permission, just like with Jesus, permission from the Roman government, but they could hurt these people, they could beat them, and if they could convince the Roman authorities, could actually have them killed. So this isn't just people just sitting around drinking coffee, discussing it. Peter is standing before people who have authority over them, some type of civil authority over them. Notice what Peter said. Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Now watch, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now if you stop there, it's not so bad. Notice what he says next to him. Whom ye crucified. Man, he's putting it right to him, isn't it? You know that one you just crucified? You know that one you stood against? You know that one you opposed? That's the one who's done this. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. And then watch what happens next in verse 11. This is the stone which is set up, not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You know that's a verse? He's quoting Bible to them. He's basically saying, you know that Messiah that you're talking about? You know that Messiah you're telling others about and hoping for? You know that Messiah you said would come? He came and you killed him. That's a pretty bold, isn't it? And so he's very bold in his words here. So there's a boldness in the words of Peter. Notice this. Go back. Now look at verse 13. Now when they saw. So first they heard the boldness. Now they're seeing this boldness and just the way they're approaching it, the way they're living it. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So there was a boldness in Peter's words. And then there's a boldness in the actions of Peter and John. Now, here's what I would tell you. We're not even into the application part, but I tell you this. That's what the world needs to see in us. They need to hear boldness in our words and see boldness in our actions. Let me just show you a couple of verses about this. In the book of John, John chapter 18, notice what the Bible says. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. This is the pattern of Jesus Christ. I spake openly to the world. I wasn't trying to hide it. I wasn't trying to disguise it. I clearly said, boldly said, openly said. Look at Acts chapter 28. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. That word open, that word confidence, bold, it's all the same word. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. So this is what the Bible tells us. We're supposed to speak openly, speak with confidence, speak boldly about our faith. Now look with me in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and in circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, watch this, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is what Christ has done. In other words, what he's talking about is the cross. What Jesus did, he did boldly. He didn't try to hide it, didn't try to cover it up, wasn't scared about people knowing about it. He boldly lived his life, boldly died, boldly was a testimony of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, obviously it's talking about prayer, but it's also talking about this is how we live our life, this boldness about our life. So we talk about this idea about seeing boldness. The Bible's clear that this Bible boldness is both something that is seen and something that is heard. It is reflected in our life clearly, confidently. There's nothing done secretly. We're not scared of people knowing about where we stand. We're plainly living in the front of others our faith for the world to see. This is what we're talking about this morning. Seeing boldness in our lives. This is what the Lord expects. We're not supposed to be secret agent Christians. So let me just put it, I got a couple points here in a moment. Let me just say this. If no one in your family knows you're a born-again believer and you've been saved for a while being a week or more, that's a problem with that. No one at work knows you're born again. No one in your neighborhood knows. If you were to go up to someone who knows you well and you were to say, hey, did you know that I'm a born-again believer? And they were like, what? Really? Who would have thought? I would have never guessed that. Let me tell you, you're not living boldly. If you're living boldly, they may not know exactly all the things of your faith, but they should know there's something about you, about faith. There's something about your life. There's something, the way you talk, the way you live is plain, is clear, is open, is confident, is boldly lived in front of them. And I would tell you this morning, this is what the world needs. It needs to see bold believers. Again, not arrogant, not cocky, not just being offensive for the sake of being offensive, but we're not hiding our light under a bushel. We're not scared of people knowing that we're born-again believers. We're not, in the corner of our house with all the lights off, sucking our thumb, hoping no one ever figures out that I'm a Christian. That's not the way we live as believers. There's a boldness about it. Now, what kind of boldness should there be? Now, we're going to go back to our text this morning because we could go many different avenues here. But I want to look at just at what we saw here in our text about the boldness of Peter and John and lift that out and say, okay, here's some things that we ought to be as well, just from our text this morning. So this morning, I'm going to surprise you because I almost always have how many points? 3. Today is a special day at Grace Baptist Church. There are not three points, but there are 4 points. You are getting, watch this, you're getting 33% more this morning. All right, this is a special morning for you. So there's 4 points in the message. 4 things I want you to look at with me. So let's go back now to our text. Go back to chapter 4. I want you to share with you the first area that the world, even our fellow believers, need to see this boldness. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Let me just time out on the field. There has always been an opposition to the biblical belief that we have. If you think, you know, I wish we were back in the 50s when everyone loved Jesus. If you went back in the 50s, you'd find out not everyone loved Jesus. It might have been more of them. I don't know. Maybe the ones who did it more better than us. Maybe. But there's never been a case when all the world was in love with Jesus. There's always been an opposition. So now here's what I'm saying. If you're sitting there thinking, I can't wait till things get back to normal and we can live for Jesus and not have any opposition, that is not normality. Normality is we live for Jesus and the world opposes it. That is the normal way about living for Jesus. So, back to verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. We won't read all the verses. We kind of already set the foundation of what's going on here in the story, but here's the first thing we notice about this idea, about the world seeing boldness, even our fellow believers seeing boldness. Number one is this. They need to see our boldness in the midst of trials. Now, I don't know if you got your free money yet or not. Some people have gotten it, some people haven't. But the government has so much money, they're just giving it out now. I mean, it's just all the vaults are full, and they're just starting to give it out to people. And so maybe you have all this money now stuffed in your bank account. And you're like, okay, I don't have a financial problem. I don't have a physical problem. Everyone loves me. My job is doing great. Never been better. I'm going to live for Jesus now. Now, that's probably not your case, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living boldly when everything is going the other way. When you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, when you're struggling to keep things together in your life, but you love the Lord and you know the Lord, and there's this desire, even in the midst of trials, to live for Him. This is what the world needs to see. This is what other believers need to see. A boldness living for Jesus in the midst of trials. Regardless of what the trial is, or why you're in that trial, because there's different reasons that may happen to you. So whatever the trial is, whatever the reason for that trial, this world, especially this lost world, needs to see bold believers standing for God. If your life is topsy-turvy and you're running around like a crazy person, the world says, well, that's too bad. But when your life is topsy-turvy and you're living for Jesus and you're praising the Lord and you got a joy in your heart, they say, there's something different about that. And there is, because this is what the Lord does in the life of believers. Now, for a minute here, I'm going to talk about because there's different trials. And a lot of times what we do is we say in their trials they ought to live for Jesus. But in my trial, it's different. And my trial gives me a reason not to live for Jesus. Now, you ought to, but I'm different. I'm unique. I'm special. And that is not the case. So I would say this morning, is that trial that you're in, this difficulty that's in your life, is this trial because of some sin or foolishness on your part? You know what's amazing? It's amazing how, okay, let me say this nicely. It's amazing how we can utterly mess up our lives from our own stupidity. We do stupid things that mess up our lives, and then we're like, huh, that didn't work the way I thought, and look at the disaster I have to deal with now. And so sometimes the trial is because of our sin or our foolishness, and it has brought this difficulty in our life. You know what the world needs to see? They need to see you living boldly in spite of that. Some believers, what they do is, oh, I messed up. Look what I did. I did this wrong or this. I shouldn't have done that. I really messed my life up. And then they just tuck tail and run. What the world needs to see is you living boldly in the midst of these trials. You say, well, how do you live boldly? Well, watch this. Be bold in your repentance. Be bold in your responsibility. If it's your fault, quit blaming others. It's not the church's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your kids' fault. It's not your spouse's fault. You did it. Take responsibility. Repent. Be clear. Tell people, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I repented. The Lord forgave me, and the Lord's trying to help me put things back together. In the midst of your trial, even of your own foolishness, glorify the Lord. Praise God that He's still concerned about you, even though you were the knucklehead that did what you did. So in the trial that comes from your own sin, still boldly live for the Lord. Or maybe this, maybe the trial that comes in your life is because of someone else's actions. Now this is a difficult trial at times. You're doing what you should be doing, you're doing right, and someone else's sin overflows into your life. Their bad decision, their wicked action created a domino effect that has flowed into your life and created problems for you. And it's easy to get mad, vindictive, discouraged, but even in those situations, we ought to live boldly for the Lord. Be bold in our trust. Be bold in our faith to see that God will see us through these situations. Maybe something is coming in your life and it could be like this. Okay, you're going down the road. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Some goofball on the phone, not paying attention, slams in your car, has now created some type of financial or physical problem in your life. And it's easy to get mad at God. It's easy to get mad at them. It's easy to lose your testimony. It's easy to blame the world. But what's right to do is to say, my life is in God's hands. And I'm going to trust Him, even though I did not cause this, but I'm going to trust Him even through these difficult things that have come into my life because of others. This is the boldness of our faith that the world needs to see. Or it could be this morning. Maybe the trial is because of persecution. Or some attack on your faith. Someone is purposely bringing harm to you or criticism to you or difficulty in your life because of your stand for the Lord. And sometimes these can be difficult trials, especially when it comes from people you know well. Maybe a family member, maybe a close friend who's criticizing you, who's attacking you, who's getting others to join in the attack, and you're now the weird one just because you're living right. I tell you this morning, be bold in your stand for the Lord. Be bold in your love for Him. Do not allow this trial, do not allow this difficulty to cause you to shrink away from the Lord, to walk away from the Lord, to not stand boldly. Now again, not talking about arrogant, not talking about proud, but we ought to say, regardless of why this is going on, here's what they're going to treat you like Job. Remember what did Job's wife say to Job? Curse God and die. Why even still going to church? Why even talking about Jesus? If Jesus is so great, why is your life so miserable? That's how they're going to frame it. And here's what you need to say. I don't know why this is happening. Or maybe I do know why. I was an idiot. For whatever reason it's happening, let me tell you, it doesn't detract how good God has been. That's what the world needs to see. A love, a faithfulness, a trust in the Lord in the midst of these difficult times. I'm going to give you a statement. I'm going to put it up on the wall so that you see it. I think here's a good rule of thumb to live by in these situations. Turn your trial into a pulpit and preach Christ. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear that you love, you serve, you're faithful to the Lord in the midst of these things. So here's Peter and John just doing what they should be doing. They come and get arrested, but they don't deny Christ. They don't turn from Christ. They don't shrink from Christ. They don't move at all away from Christ. They're very bold in their stand for Christ, even in the midst of a difficult trial that's coming into their life. So number one, I said, see our boldness. The world needs to see our boldness. Even fellow believers need to see our boldness in the midst of trials. The second thing I would show you from our text. Go back with me now again to chapter 4, in verse 13. Maybe one of the more famous verses, probably verse 12 and verse 13, maybe the two most famous verses in this account here. In verse 13, notice what it says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that... The Bible probably doesn't mean to the extreme that we take it, but I do kind of chuckle when it says it this way. And perceive that they were unlearned and ignorant men. How would you like the eternal word of God to call you ignorant? And perceive that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And then notice what happens next. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with whom? Jesus. So number one, the world needs to see our boldness in the midst of trials. Number two, they need to see our boldness comes from Jesus. We're just not cocky. We're just not flippant. We're just not careless or carefree. The Lord has done something. And who am I not to respond positively to what the Lord has done in my life? They need to see our boldness comes from Jesus. Peter's clear, biblical, concise defense was not because of any obvious training or experience. This is what they're talking about. They're not talking about these are just kind of, you know, a bunch of goofy guys. Okay, that's not what they're saying about them. They're saying, you didn't go to the college that we went to. You didn't go to the schools we went to. You've not learned like we've learned. You weren't there when we were in these classes. How do you know these things? How can you quote Scripture? How can you stand for the Lord? And then they took notice. They didn't go to the school, they didn't go to the college, they didn't go to the class, but they had been with Jesus. And that made all the difference. So this boldness that they had did not come from just training they received, like the other Jews. It wasn't training, but the training was from the Lord. So it wasn't the school training in that way, but they had been with Jesus. So it wasn't any obvious training or experience. The only explanation was Jesus himself. So again, because I keep coming back to this, because a lot of times boldness is translated in our heads as being braggadocious, being just loudmouth, and that's not what we're talking about. So the world doesn't need a loudmouth. The world doesn't need a braggart. What it needs is a bold, sincere witness of the Lord. And you don't have to be loud or obnoxious to be bold. You just need to be willing to let God use you, and let the Lord work through you. It is important that they agree with what you say. It is important that we boldly say what Jesus wants. Now let me say two things about this quickly. One is this. As born-again believers, we are simply vessels for the Lord. The world, I hope you understand what I'm about to say. The world doesn't need you. The world needs Jesus. But the Lord has decided to work through us. You ever try to water some grass or some area, and you take the water hose and it just won't go far enough, so you kind of angle it up and try to shoot it over where it's going? You ever do that? And you say, boy, if I could just get the hose to where it needs to be, it would be so much better. You know what? The grass over there doesn't need a hose. What does it need? It needs a water. But how does the water get to the grass? Through the hose. Can I tell you what the world needs? It needs Jesus. But how has God chosen to reach the world? Through us. We're the hose, if you will. We're the conduit that God wants to flow through and reach a lost world. But what when we get there, imagine this. So you get a hose. You go to a Home Depot, and you buy a 1,000-foot hose because that's just the way we are. I need 10 feet, but hey, 1,000 is good as 10. So I have this 1,000-foot hose, and I bring it over here to the dry grass, and the hose always gets tangled. I mean, you can have 1,000 feet, and 2 feet it gets tangled. So now you untangle it. You tell yourself how much you hate hoses, and finally you get it over there, and you lay this hose on the grass. Okay, all done. Did the grass need the hose? It needed the water. See, it doesn't need us just to be in the world. It needs Christ working through us. That's what this world needs. And this is what we're talking about. This is the boldness that we're having. It's not a boldness, hey, look at me, look what I can do. No, it's this is the Lord. And understand, this is what the Lord is doing. They need to see our boldness comes from Jesus himself. Let me give you a second caveat about this, and that is this. When you do boldly stand for the Lord, and you talk about the Lord, they're going to oppose you. Some are. But it's not you that they're against. It's the Lord. Don't take it personal. If you would go out drinking with them, cussing with them, tell the dirty jokes with them, they would love you just like they love everyone else. It's when you stand and talk about the Lord. Well, why are they mad now? Because their issue they have is with the Lord. And just understand that. But that's what they need to see. They need to see our boldness comes from Jesus. This is why we're here, to give Jesus to this lost world as a conduit for him to flow through, to represent the Lord here. So they need to see boldness in the midst of trials. They need to see our boldness comes from the Lord, comes from Jesus himself. There's a third thing I would share with you. Go back with me again now to our text, chapter 4 again, in verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Now watch what they say next. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest, is seen, is shown to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. So they need to see boldness in the midst of trials. Boldness comes from Jesus. Number three is this. They need to see our boldness as tangible results. I started the message and said that, you know, there should be a boldness in our words and a boldness in our action. But it can't just be the words. The actions must be there as well. There needs to be supporting evidence in our lives that accompany our words. There must be something real, something true in the way we live our life, not just how we talk about the Lord. Now, if I could just take a, if you'll let me, we'll just kind of pull the car over for a moment. It's a nice little overlook here. Let's just stop here and talk about the site. When we think about this, about not just seeing our, not just hearing our words, but seeing our action, can I tell you, it is much more, I'll put in air quotes, fun. It's much more, it's easier to talk about faith, to share stories about faith, than it is to actually live by faith. You know, let me tell you what's easy to say. You know, if I didn't have a penny in the bank, if I didn't have a friend in the world, I'd live for Jesus. That's easy to say. But what are you going to do when you don't have a penny in the bank and a friend in the world? Because most people, they don't live for Jesus in those days. Now they're whacking themselves in their head like their hair's on fire. They're panicking. They're don't know what to do. Everyone hates me. I'm poor. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I thought you said you were going to live for Jesus. That's what I thought you said. You see, sometimes our words are cheap. Our words are easy to say. But when it comes time to actually do something, we're not so bold now. We're not so bold. It's kind of like, if you will, if you'll let me use a story about my wife's dog. We have a fence between us and a neighbor. Neighbor's a nice person. They have dogs. Their dogs are nice. We have Buddy. Buddy's not a nice dog. He's a cute dog. He's a fun dog. He's just not a nice dog with other dogs. This dog, who's like this, thinks he's like this. Okay. Now, they have a dog next door. And there's a little like a hole right where at the bottom of the fence. And this dog next door, his whole head is like, won't even fit through the hole, but it's like his nose sticks through. Now, Buddy probably could maybe wiggle through, maybe, especially if he got good kicks. He probably could get through that No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I probably would. No, he can't get through the hole there. But it's almost. Buddy can almost get his whole body through the hole. This dog can barely get his nose through the hole. You know what Buddy does? He'll come out like he's going to go to the bathroom. He'll look over, and if he sees through the cracks the other dog, he runs to that fence, and he'll... And it's annoying. It's, oh, get out. And that dog goes, and that big dog's like, oh, yeah, I'll show you. And he sticks his nose. You know, Buddy has big talk. But my guess is this. If I said, hey, Buddy, let's find out. And I, my guess is he doesn't have something to back up what he's saying. All of a sudden, he's going to go, hi, friend. Nice, doggy. It's going to be different words. Can I tell you, as believers, sometimes that's exactly how we are. We talk real big about living for Jesus, standing for Jesus, being faithful to Jesus. I would swing with a rotten grapevine over the flames of hell, squirting the devil in his eyeball, singing Amazing Grace, because I know God would deliver me. But then we get a little challenge in our life, and all of a sudden we're hiding in the corner again. You see, words can be very cheap. It's the action along with the words that the world needs to see. So they need to see our boldness as tangible results, physical things that are happening. This just wasn't words of Peter and John. They had saw what Peter and John had done. They said, well, okay, we hear what you're saying, but we can't deny what you did. And that means something. They need to see our boldness as tangible results, the supporting evidence that accompanies our word. And I can tell you this, if there is no supporting evidence that accompany our words, they're going to consider us frauds. All you can do is talk it. When it's time for the rubber to meet the road, you're just like everyone else. It's just a bunch of talk. So I'd ask you this morning, with that thought in mind, are we living, as believers now in this world, are we living, this idea of boldness, now are we living a testimony that is obvious blessings? Now, if we are, then that's the things we say, here's what the Lord has done. Tell people about it. Let people know. Again, not arrogant, not cocky, not look at me, how great I am, but this is what the Lord has done. It's not just words. This is what the Lord is doing in my life. Are we living a testimony that has these type of blessings that we can tell others about? Watch this. Is God real in our life? Not just how we talk about him, but how we live and what he's doing. Is God real in our life? Or I can ask you this way. And this kind of ties it together. Can our lives preach the same sermon as our mouths? Can our lives preach the exact same sermon that they hear us saying? Can they look and say, yep, that's what you're saying. And that's what we're seeing. Peter and John said, I'm going to tell you, Jesus did this. Well, what did he do? Here's what he did. And they saw it and they heard it. And that boldness in both the hearing and the seeing is what the Jews said, well, what can we do? There's a tangible result. They saw this boldness. This morning, our words and our actions should be harmonious. And this boldness the world needs to see is that they're both true in our life. So he said this morning, there should be a boldness in the midst of trials. There should be a boldness that is evident that comes from Jesus, and there should be boldness that's evident in our lives. And then I give you the fourth thought. Go back with me to chapter 4 and look at verse 23. Now this fourth thought is kind of separate than the other three, and I'll explain why before I give it to you. The first three really deals with the Jewish leaders and Peter and John and the boldness they saw and the boldness they heard. And I mentioned this a couple of times in the message leading up to this point, and that is this. The lost world needs to see your boldness. Now listen, and so does your fellow believers. Let me tell you something. Everyone you see who seems to have it all together and living way up here doesn't have it all together living way up here. Sometimes they do, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they know this is how I'm supposed to talk, this is how I'm supposed to live, but I'm really hurting right now. I'm really fearful right now. I know this is how I'm talking. I know this is where I'm looking, but inside I am the cowering in the corner, thumb-sucking believer that I'm not supposed to be. And the best thing that you can do as you live for the Lord is to live it in a way that's boldly in front of fellow believers that can be an encouragement to them. How do I know that? Well, let's go back to our text, chapter 4. And look what we notice in verse number 23. And being let go, Peter and John, they went to their own company, talking about fellow believers, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Now, when they heard that, they lifted. So now that's not just Peter and John, this is the whole company, the whole group here. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now let me just stop for a moment. You know what they were very much aware of? It wasn't long ago before they had crucified Jesus. And the same ones who were behind that, the Jewish leaders, had just hauled two of their main people, Peter and John, off. Do you think maybe they thought they weren't coming back? Do you think maybe they were thinking about, we're going back out to Calvary and seeing a couple more crucified? And now when Peter and John shows up, and they hear the testimony of Peter and John, and how they stood, and how they were bold, the people are like, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly how it's supposed to be. Why are we cowering? Why are we worried? The Lord's in this. Let's pick it back up to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants. Now watch this. That with all boldness they... Now, this isn't Peter and John. This is the group that he went back to. And they're saying, Lord, help us to be bold. Lord, help us to speak with boldness. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done. In other words, let's talk it, let's live it. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. So not only do this lost world need to see the boldness of believers, but we understand this as well, that our fellow believers need to see our boldness. Because as they see our boldness, it encourages in others to be bold. Let me use a little play on words based on our current things going on in our society. Boldness, if you'll let me say it this way, I'm not trying to be unkind or unthoughtful, unfeeling about suffering that people are going through. Let me just say it this way. Boldness is the virus you want to spread. It's the thing you want others to catch from you. Boldness is, if you will, again, the disease you want others to catch. Now watch this. And what social distancing is supposed to do to the virus, it will definitely do to your boldness. You stay away from fellow believers, you are not going to catch their boldness. You'll be the one. Could you imagine? So Peter and John shows up. Those are there like, hey, they're back. Hey, Peter and John's back. Boy, great. And all of a sudden they hear Peter and John and how they, well, what did you say, Peter? Did you beg for your life? Did you plead? No, I didn't beg for my life. I pointed my finger in his face and said, you crucified Christ. It is your fault. Jesus is the one who healed them. What are you going to do about it? And they said, well, I guess we're not going to do too much. You can get out of here and just quit preaching about it. And we're not going to quit preaching about it. And we were bold. And we said it. And we did it. And those who are there said, that's right. Lord, that's what we need. We need this boldness. Could you imagine? Little Henry. Little Henry, who should have been there, was not there.
And little Henry is home, hiding in this corner over here, and he's like, oh, I hope they don't get me. I hope the bad Jewish leaders don't get me. He wasn't there when Peter and John showed up. He wasn't in church that day. And here all of a sudden Peter and John shows up and everyone else is like, let's be bold. And little Henry is back in the corner sucking his thumb saying, oh, I hope they don't get me. I hope they don't get me. Now what was the difference? He wasn't around the other believers. There is something unique about other believers encouraging our faith. So I'd say this. Number one, be around them. Number two, live out your faith in front of fellow believers. And number three, understand this, if God can do it in their life, God can do it in your life. God has no favorites. And so we need to encourage others in our own boldness, so as we live bold, encourages them to be bold. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. So does boldness encourage boldness. And what this world needs to see is assembled believers who are boldly putting Christ and other believers before themselves. So I'll give it to you one more way. The visible, physical assembly of believers is a dynamic and a convincing testimony to this selfish, sinful world. And by the way, it's not just when they're in a virus panic. This is all the time. Now watch. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to get this statement at the end. The visible, physical assembly of believers is a dynamic and convincing testimony to this selfish, sinful world. And watch. And that is why Satan fights so hard against it. Satan's M.O. Do you think Satan wants churches going? He wants them shut down. Do you think he really cares why they shut down? Not as much as that they shut down. That is Satan's MO. That's his agenda. That's what he wants to happen. And I'm telling you, we as believers need all the time, not just in viral, pandemic, panic, hysteria times, I mean all times, need to understand that we need to be together encouraging one another in our faith. This situation that Peter and John were in, now watch, because I'm to the end of the message. This situation that Peter and John were in did not make them bold. It revealed the boldness that was in them. Well, how did they become bold? Because they had time with Jesus. I don't think they walked around with Jesus and said, okay, we're going to hang around Jesus because someday we're going to be before the Jewish leaders and we need to be bold, so we're going to spend time with them. No, they just spent time with them. And in spending time with them, it increased their boldness, so that when that time came, they were bold. So this time, this event, this situation did not make them bold. It revealed the boldness that was in them because they had spent time with Jesus. Often, now there's a reason I'm saying that. Watch. Often the time the world needs to see our boldness, to see the boldness in God's people. Now watch. These times that the world, even fellow believers, need to see the boldness in God's people come suddenly and unaware. You don't have time to prepare. You don't have time to say, problem, let's go get boldness. No, it's too late. You either got it or don't have it. Well, how am I going to get it? Remember the story in the Bible about the 10 virgins? And the bridegroom shows up, and the 5 that were prepared went with the bridegroom, correct? And the other 5 got in the bus and went down to Walmart to try to find some oil. It's too late for them. They missed the bridegroom. Why? Because they weren't prepared. And I'm telling you, we need to be prepared now so that we have the boldness when that time comes. So how do we prepare? I'm glad you ask. You need to know Christ personally. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Well, Pastor White, when bad times come and my life falls apart, then I'm going to get saved. Probably not. Your life's going to be such a topsy turvy, tornado-y situation, it's going to be hard to see straight. If you don't know Christ, you need to know him today. You need to say, Lord, I'm not even sure if I'm going to heaven, but I want to get this thing settled. If you cannot sit here this morning and say, absolutely, I know that if I were to die right now, I know I'd be in the, I would be with the Lord in heaven, because I can tell you when and where I put my faith in Christ and Christ alone. I looked to the cross. I said, I am unable to save myself. I have sinned. I've sinned against God. I have no reason to think I could be in the holy heaven with God because of my sin. But I understand that Jesus died for me. Please come to my heart. Please wash my sins away. Give me a home in heaven. I trust you and you only. If there's not been a place and a time that has happened, then there is no assurance that you have a home in heaven. The Bible says, to as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Have you received Christ? Do you know Christ personally? Talking about salvation. Well, how else can we prepare? Well, you need to be saved, but number two, you need to walk with Christ daily. I'm not trying to be unkind to anyone, and there's different situations and different lives. I understand that. I'm not trying to paint with too wide of a brush. But I tell you, it does apply to some people this morning, and that is this. The panic, there are believers who are in full-fledged panic mode. They think the world is coming to an end, or at least their world is coming to an end. They are freaking out because of what's going on. Can I tell you what the problem was? For a long time, they had no walk with God. Didn't read the Bible, didn't pray. It was all just a game. And now, when they need the Lord's working in their life, they're not prepared. And I'm not saying everyone prepared is handling it right, but I'm saying the people who weren't prepared are definitely not handling it well. Are you walking with Christ daily? Well, I don't see any problem coming in my life. You usually don't. It doesn't usually send you an email and say, okay, in 3 weeks, I missed a problem. In 3 weeks, I'm coming to your house, so be ready. It's usually, ding dong, problem. Wow. Had no idea you're going to be here. You need to be walking with Christ daily. Letting the Lord prepare you. Letting the Lord grow your faith. Letting the Lord develop a foundation in your life that you're depending on the Lord. You're looking to the Lord. You're building your life on the Lord. Know Christ personally. Walk with Christ daily, which then assumes the third, which is this: live for Christ faithfully. Often in trials, it's the little trials that prepare us for bigger trials, which prepare us for bigger trials, which prepare us for bigger trials. And when that trial that first comes in your life that you may think is huge, but looking back, you realize it wasn't so much, but at that time it was like, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord in this. I'm going to trust the Lord. And the Lord sees you through, and you're like, okay. And then there's another trial, and you're like, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord in this. Okay. And the Lord begins building your faith. As you live faithfully for him, the Lord begins building your faith. And then you have this other trial, and then you're, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord in this. And then, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord in this. Now, I'm not trusting the table so much. I'm trusting the Lord. Now, one of us is nervous, either me or the table. Something's shaking there, isn't it? Now, if I were to start at this floor and try to take one big step on top of that table, I can't reach it. But if I live for the Lord faithfully, he begins growing my faith. And eventually, as the bigger things come into my life, I'm more able to deal with it. This is how we prepare ourselves. We know Christ personally. Be saved. We walk with Christ daily. This is our sanctification. We live for Christ faithfully. This is how we practice our faith, even as we develop it as we go forward. And so finally, I come to you to the end of the message and say this. If we're going to see things from God's perspective, here's what he wants to see: boldness in his people. He doesn't want to see us cowering in a corner, afraid of everything. Doesn't mean there aren't problems. Doesn't mean there aren't difficulties. But he wants to see his people living boldly. Could you imagine that day when Peter and John was before the... I know, God knows all things. Nothing surprises him. But we got to kind of put it in human thinking so we understand. So could you imagine that day, Peter and John's being called before the Jewish leaders. And maybe the angels were saying, wonder what they're going to do. Wonder if they're going to deny Jesus. What are they going to do? I mean, they just killed Jesus. They're probably scared to death. They're probably knocked knees, maybe even wetting themselves. They're so scared. Wonder what they're going to do. And Peter and John pointed their finger in their face and said, let me tell you, if you want to know why this happened, the one you crucified, he's the reason he's healed. And maybe the angel said, wow, look at that. And God said, yep, those are my people. Look at them, living boldly. That's what the Lord wants to see in us. He wants to see his people living boldly. In spite of trials, in spite of difficulties, in spite of all that's going on, that we're living boldly, our faith boldly, living, talking our faith boldly in this world. If that's not the case for us this morning, we need to be looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, but that's what I want to be. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me?